I'm Ella and I'm one of your hosts, and today we're joined by Anna and Trevor.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm really looking forward to chatting to our wonderful guests today and exploring their journey of following God's call for us to care for creation and seek justice. So Anna and Trevor, would love if you could both briefly introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Yeah, great. Hi, I'm Anna. I'm married to Trevor, or Trev to me. Apart from 3 years living in France, I've lived in Brighton now for about 24 years. And I've been at Holland Road for over 20 years. I was recently working for Brighton Housing Trust, providing staff training and development events. And since then, I've been looking for work. And for relaxation and fun, I've always really enjoyed all things creative. I love a good boogie, love socialising, time with family, and I love a long countryside walk.
Yeah, hi, I'm Trevor, and yes, married to Anna. And I was brought up in Sussex and went to university in Manchester, and then I did masters in Newcastle, where I ended up working for many years. And I spent a few years in the Environment Agency, and then got a job down in Southern Water to work in water. That's what I do. And so I've been living in Hove for 20 years now, and really loving it here. And I also like getting out in the countryside particularly, and just keep myself busy with community things are going on. So
thank you so much for joining us today, Anna and Trevor. At Encounter, we love to get to know our guests and ask all the important questions. So without further ado, we're going to ask you a few quick fire questions. First question: what do you prefer in Brighton, the beach or the downs?
Ooh, hard one. I think it's going to be the downs for me, because I can see the beach from there.
Yeah, I go for the downs as well.
That's a clever answer. I like that. Second question is, what is your favourite stationery item?
I think the paperclip, it holds things together.
Is that a normal paperclip, or is it kind of a different, like a different shape paperclip?
Oh, that's a good one. No, it's got to be a coloured, nice coloured one, but no, nothing unusual about it.
Okay, what colour would it be?
I don't know, red. That's a nice colour.
Love that. Good to know. What about you, Anna?
It would have to be between a paper and pen, because I do love to write a poem or two now and then. So hard choice, but I guess the pen is quite, you know, necessary. I could write on my hand if I needed to. So, I'll go for some groovy type of pen.
Okay, third question. Would you rather a Christmas roast dinner or a pudding buffet?
I'm going to have to say a roast dinner. I don't know. I don't think you can beat it.
We're so complimentary. Guess what I'm going to say? an array of wonderful puddings. Nothing could be better in my book. Yeah, I've been known to actually eat a whole meal of puddings before, haven't I, Trev?
Yes. You start when you go out. We look at the menu, and she's on the pudding list before she's even chosen a main course.
I like that. Puddings are good, and obviously Christmas is coming up, so you can all have both your roast dinner and your assortment of pudding, so it's a win-win really. And this season we're asking all of our guests a very important question: if you were a car, what car would you be?
Well, I'll be out for your front view. I would love to be an electric car, and I'll be plugged in and powered by the Grampian wind farm. So I can say that I'm powered by wind. So I feel good.
Great answer.
I did think about that, but then I was like, am I actually an electric car? I thought, well, actually, I'm probably more likely a second-hand car. So maybe in the future I'll be a second-hand electric car. I don't know. But, with a bit of wear and tear, but in generally good working order. And, you know, even if I do break down, with a bit of TLC, get me going again pretty quickly.
Nice. Have you got any preference for what colour car you'd be?
It's got to be a green car, isn't it? You know,
I'll go for purple or something like that.
Nice. That's good. But both a purple and a green car, it's quite an out there drive you're going to have in the near future, or if you become cars.
Yeah, again, very complimentary, you know.
Yeah, it is on the colour wheel. Look at that.
Wow, thank you guys for those amazing answers. I feel like we've already gotten to learn a bit more about you guys, but firstly, we'd love to hear how you both became passionate about environmental justice.
Well, that's a really good question, and I'll try and keep it succinct because I've got loads of story to tell, really. And to be honest with you, it started with me, perhaps even as a child. My mum particularly, my parents took me on walks around the Ashdown Forest, and I absolutely loved going out there on as a young person. And I was in the Scouts as well, so I did lots of night hikes and all sorts of engagement out in the countryside. So I had an interest in the countryside and nature from early age. But as a teenager, it became a really important thing to me about the environment and the planet and what a relationship was in. And that was obviously quite a few decades ago, but it really shaped my career choices. I took a course in geography and geology at Manchester University. That was because I had those interests. Didn't quite know what to do in life, but I knew I wanted to do something to do with the planet and looking after it in some way. Because I became a Christian as a teenager as well, I had a heart to help people. And those two things were really, really central to how some of the decisions I made in my career. We're using the geography and geology. I became a hydrogeologist, which was basically water in the ground. So we're able to use that. And my focus within that is about public water supply and just water supply in general and managing water resources, which is how my career's developed. So I've had this heart for the environment right from a teenager, but taken that into my career and really being very much aware of the impacts that humans have had and are continuing to have on the planet and nature itself. Since joining Holland Road, I was very interested in this heart for social justice and how that connects with my faith in Jesus and how these things come together. And we were just really excited by that. So my journey was very much with that. Because we have some friends at Redcliffe College in Gloucester, we're invited to go over to one of their conferences about 9 years ago. And we were able to share some of the ideas we had, but also listen to other people. We realised it was quite a movement of people in the Christian context who had this shared passion and heart for environmental issues. And so a couple of years ago, God sort of placed on our hearts a vision to think about this and in the context of Holland Road and the context of living in Hove and Brighton. And at the same time, we saw some really big movements going on around the world, particularly in this city, and just really growing awareness of environment to many more people. And I think for me, one of the highlights was in July last year, 2019, I took the opportunity. I heard about this school strike and I went along to it on the seafront. I couldn't believe the thousands of people that turned up on a Friday afternoon to go for this march through the city. And I just felt really, really excited. And I thought, this is the time to do something and really step up. That for me has been my journey. And I'm really excited to share more of that with you.
For me, it's interesting actually when Trevor's talking about his childhood and stuff, because I probably didn't really consciously think of that, but actually I always loved the outside. My dad used to take us on camping trips and on long walks in the New Forest and in Wales and stuff, and I've always loved the outdoors. But in relation to kind of, you know, creation care and environmental justice and stuff, it really hasn't been something that's kind of been really very big on my radar most of my life, probably all my younger years anyway. And it's probably similar to a lot of people, really, that it's become much more prominent in my life in recent years. That has been largely from having gone to these environmental, you know, Christian environmental conferences that Trevor was talking about, and, you know, engaging with all of that. And just that's been a massive eye-opener for me over the years, because we went to quite a few of those, and we've been to lots of other events with a focus on creation care. and social justice, and it's really helped me kind of connect the dots with, you know, how important it is to care for God's creation and the, you know, obviously the impacts of climate change and how we can respond to that, and from a biblical perspective as well, you know. So yeah, it's just, it's really just been a big eye-opener for me, and it's really spurred me on. More and more recent years, you know, obviously the whole climate crisis has become a lot more kind of high profile in the last 2 or 3 years particularly, and that was largely because of David Attenborough's Blue Planet too, which massively kind of grabbed my attention and also sort of inspired me, and then loads of other different kind of campaigns and programs that have been on and stuff that have also really helped me to just grow awareness and to grow my passion, really, to want to make changes in my own life, but also to sort of share that with others as well, and to kind of empower others to make changes in their lives as well. So
thanks guys, that was really insightful. I loved how both of you kind of have that passion grow over time, and you've had different connections and different like ways people feed into that passion, from like Trevor talking about the protests which have happened more recently, as well as like a young childhood, when both of you having that young childhood love of just being outdoors, and then also just how like different communities and different Christian communities are really following God's heart for creation care and justice. It's just really interesting to hear, and really encouraging as well that we live in a political climate in a time where actually environmental justice is at the forefront of lots of people's minds. That I think over the last few years it's been quite a big tipping point, and it's quite exciting to hear. And so obviously we're speaking to you in quite an exciting time as well. For those of you who don't know, who are listening, Anna and Trevor have just set up a new group at Holland Road, which is called Creation Care. So I have two questions for you, which I think all the listeners will love to hear about. The first is, how do you define creation care?
Well, it's a broad topic, and yet you mentioned about God's heart for creation. That, to me, is really quite central to how we are taking this on, because that sense of what is creation, it's God's creation. We start looking at it in the way that God looks at it. He has a deep heart for his creation. And when you open up the Bible, you realise his creation is so central to the message of the Bible. Yes, it's about Jesus and Jesus, he saves us, but it's more than that. And this is where we're very excited. So when you look at, say, for instance, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, this is right at the beginning of the first book in Genesis. God saw that all he has made, and it was very good. And there was the evening and there was the morning of the sixth day. And so that sense of he'd seen creation and it was very good, his creation. And only three verses before that, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. This was addressed to Adam and Eve. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, and over every living creature that moves to the ground. Now, some translations use the word dominion, have dominion over. And I think sometimes that's been perhaps misinterpreted. Dominion sounds like you've got master control over it, and it's ours to do what we want with. And I think that's possibly been quite a flaw in understanding what our responsibilities are to looking after creation. When dominion can mean to rule over, but it gives humans, us, responsibility of leadership over that. And I think that has a real duty. So God has created his thing, which he's called very good, and then given us, there is some responsibility to look over it, which is truly remarkable. What an honour, but also it has significant responsibilities with it. So in Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to work and take care of it. Again, emphasizing God wants us to take care of the Garden of Eden, you know, his creation. And so that sense of creation care is rooted right in the beginning of the first two chapters of Genesis. But if you look through the Bible, you can see other pointers to God's heart for creation, as you said. So, for instance, and there's many of these in the Psalms, is a good place to look for them. In Psalm 145, verse 9, it said, the Lord is good to all and has compassion on all he has made. So that sense of praise, a creator, when we walk in creation itself. Sometimes I find, and I think many people have found, when you walk in the countryside, connecting with nature, it's so easy to praise God. It just feels so natural almost, just to celebrate him, because we're in his creation. And through it, we can share God's heart for creation, because God loves all the creation. And like I said, it was very good. But there's also some other real important principles in the Bible. And we talked about social justice and creation care. And another term sometimes used is environmental justice. So, for instance, in Micah 6, verse 8, it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." So God has shown us what is good. You know, he said right from the beginning that what he created is very good. So there's a thing. So what does it require of us? Now, what struck me and many others, and particularly when I think back to the school strike I went on, the thousands of people in our city, the created world is in trouble. It's challenged, it's broken, and it's changing. We've seen climate change threatening all of life and having really big impacts. Biodiversity loss and mass extinctions are massive changes. Now, the natural world is always changing. It's a natural thing to change. Yet, are the changes that we see today the kind of changes that God would want to see to happen? And I think that's a question that I've been burdened with, and I think we need to keep asking ourselves, is this change what God would like, or, you know, that root of some of this? So some changes are dramatically affecting people around the world. So crops are failing, rainfall patterns are changing, droughts, floods, more extreme storms and events, and sea level rise are affecting some of the very poorest and most vulnerable communities. So within this context of creation care, I believe our call as Christians, and very much what Jesus encouraged us to ask, is who is our neighbour? Our neighbour is those people in need. And if the change in the climate is having an impact and making people poorer and struggling through this, then I think we've also got a particular call. So creation care and caring for our neighbour are interrelated as well. Step into some of the writings of Paul in the New Testament, Colossians 1, verse 19 to 20. "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," this is Jesus, "and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So if we consider Jesus as God, was the creator God, came to earth, and was crucified on a tree, on a cross. But we call Creator God in that context Redeemer and Saviour. And Jesus' death on the cross was for all humans to have the opportunity to be saved, but also to reconcile himself with all things, reconciling creation. So the remarkable thing about the cross is, yes, it is a focus on salvation for humans, but it also reconciles the creation. It's a start of things to do. So I believe creation care is actually part of our call as Christians to serve God at the creator, and it's early on within that. So what's that look like in terms of the vision that we've been placed on Holland Road? I think your second question there, and we've had a heart to say, well, we've explored, well, do we have a little small group discussing this, or how do we explore it? And we realise perhaps we're keen to open this up to anybody who got an interest in this in Holland Road. And with the idea of doing a monthly conversation on some of the key topics that we're all affected by, we've got some awareness of, and perhaps we'll find a bit more and share ideas and find out where people are at with it. So that's why we're talking about this creation care conversation. I don't know if Anna wants to add something to that.
So it is about kind of just opening up a conversation at this stage, I think, to kind of invite people to be part of that conversation in a Christian context around creation care. But also, you know, that can kind of empower us, and we can support each other to kind of take action in different ways, practical action and also prayer, of course. And we can maybe be looking to, you know, follow up on some of the ideas that, that interest us around kind of environmental projects. And yeah, so that's part of it as well, but it's early days. So there's a lot of scope how it can look at Holland Road, and hopefully with some of the other teams as well, the practicals team with the garden at the back and with the youth team and the kids and everything. So yeah, there's a lot of potential and we'll see how God leads in it really. Yeah.
Thanks guys. That was really powerful. It's so exciting just to hear how you just connect our call just to love our neighbour and also the creation mandate and how those two things come hand in hand. And just looking at all that scripture, just kind of, I think it brings us back to the core of our purpose, just to fill out that call that God asks us to do. And yeah, and I'll be sure to put all those verses in the description as well. I encourage everyone to go back and read through them and just kind of dwell and meditate on those, just because I think it's just so beautiful how we're called just to care for our creation.
We're really aware that we live in a world of increasing environmental uncertainty, and it's very easy to read the news and feel overwhelmed by things like global warming, deforestation, the detrimental impact of the fast fashion, and climate crisis. Where do you find hope in these times?
So as Trev was saying, he, you know, is referring in those Bible verses, that's a good place to start, isn't it? To be celebrating all that God's created as good and kind of recognising the commission to us to care for his creation. But also the Bible not only promises us salvation, as Trev was saying, but also the ultimate restoration of heaven and earth, which he referred to in those verses that he referred to. But also throughout the Bible, there are pointers and indications to that. And then, of course, in Revelation 21 and 22, we're given this amazing, you know, picture of this completely restored heaven and earth, and this picture of a city with God at the centre and the river running through it and the trees for the healing of the nations. And it's just such a powerful picture to me. It really speaks of God's creation restored in all of its glory. And so that is a really good start. For me, that really does give me hope, because it makes me feel like I'm part of God's promise in how he's going to bring about that restoration of heaven and earth through Jesus, through Christ, through the reconciliation that Trevor was talking about in all of us, and through the Holy Spirit that lives within all of us. And so how the Holy Spirit is going to work within us to, you know, to be part of that restoration of heaven and earth and play our part in it, really. So that is a reason to be hopeful, and it's a big incentive as Christians to care for God's creation. And also the themes that we were discussing in our first creation conversation a couple of weeks ago are also really relevant to the current times. So this is related to how we've been prompted through the lockdown and social restrictions this year to value more our togetherness and community, and to value life and equality more than productivity, and also to value imagination and creativity more in the way that we do connect and share life with each other and our environment. So this is a real inspiration for me, for both of us, and it really spurs us on and spurs us into action.
Just to really add to that, the joy of that hope is that when we start doing small things, because I think a lot of people think, overwhelmed by the scale of the problem, and sort of, what can I do? It's too big a problem. And yet what we see, the pattern, and it's a pattern of a Christian tradition as well, is that when many people do small things and each do something, that can really make a big difference. Yes, if one person does it, it probably doesn't make so much a difference. But if lots of people do something, it can really start making that difference. So that, to me, is also another place where we can have hope, where people come together and try to tackle this problem together.
And so then, how can our listeners join in and begin to seek environmental justice and creation care in their day-to-day lives?
Well, very much picking up on that. Like I say, we can do small things around, you know, maybe picking up plastic as we see it in the environment, for instance, and putting it somewhere, recycling. Also thinking about how we move around. You know, if we cycle, it might have less impact on the environment and reduce the impact of air pollution around, say, school gates and other places. So these small things can actually have an impact. But what we're trying to do at Holland Road is open up that conversation. And I think that to us is the opportunity there.
So I would kind of add to that, just basically to say that there are tons of ways that people can kind of get involved in environmental projects. We've already had a few suggestions that came out of our first creation care conversation. That included, as Trev was sort of alluding to, some litter picking, maybe eco brick making, maybe with a view to kind of doing like a community project to build a bench or something that would be quite prominent, that would like make a statement. It could even be outside Holland Road. And then I've been going down to the garden at the back of the church, which not many people know actually exists. There is a plot of earth there that's quite a decent plot for growing stuff. Not everyone's into gardening, but you know, that is one way of obviously using God's creation to provide food and to get a bit more connected with where our food comes from. We're also going to there's a campaign locally, a consultation going on with the council for a rewilding project that's going to be hopefully happening just on the outskirts of town. So we're going along to find out a bit more about that tomorrow evening, actually. But yeah, that's just a brief selection of a few things, but there are loads of ways.
But also, as we go into next year, we're very keen to really open up some of these really big topics. And such as climate change, biodiversity loss, and even looking at the Christian principles of creation care and in some depth. It'd be very much a conversation, an opportunity for everybody to share and to hear each other. Also to think through how we do things practically, perhaps even get involved in one or two campaigns as well.
So I'd just say one last thing is what you said, Ella, about meditating on those verses, and there are plenty of others. I'd really encourage you to do that, just to have some time, you know, really seeking God on what he might want to say to you.
Great. Thank you, guys. We'll be sure to put down those verses in the description. And thank you so much for joining us. That was just, really incredible and powerful and encouraging to hear. I think it can be really easy for people to feel, like you were saying, overwhelmed by environmental injustice and climate injustice. And sometimes you just kind of forget that actually we all have a part to play, and it can be big or small, but we're all invited in, and God calls us all to be part of seeking that justice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Definitely. It's been a pleasure to, come on the podcast. Thanks.
I would like to end our session with a prayer. Father God, thank you that we have the opportunity to change our world for the better. I pray that we become more aware of environmental justice and look after the world that you've given us, Lord. And I pray that we get involved in, just seeking the environmental justice for our environment and really doing all this for you and for your glory, Lord. Amen. This has been the Encounter Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and a big thank you to Anna and Trevor for joining us today.
You can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We post a new podcast every week on a Friday, so please look out for that and do give the previous episodes a listen too.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back next week. Bye!
Bye!